brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That's true. They did move Hee Haw to 1 a.m.
They moved Hee Haw?
They moved it to 1 a.m.
Oh, I gotta set up my DVR then.
Yeah.
I miss Hee Haw.
Hee Haw.
Oh, TNT's got to play something after hockey.
Oh, Barbie Benton was on Hee Haw. I mean,
that's true.
On.
Yes, yeah, she was. Honey, actually, wow. Lord. You would remember that.
Oh, yeah. Love that show. Come on. Junior Samples and Barbie Benton on the same show? Good Lord. Please. Well, this is Made Man Bob joining me today. All right. Good old gal Denise.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a nice day for drinking wine.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. It's a damp, dark day in the basement, and I'm excited.
I can see it from here. Could you uncross your legs? And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. Excited to be here in the basement.
Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee. And this is a wine episode. So here's the wines we're going to discuss today. So we have from Paul Roger, the Paul Roger Pure Extra Brut, the Paul Roger Reserve, the Paul Roger Brut Vintage 2016, the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red 2019, Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon 2019, and from Schaefer, we have Schaefer Vineyards TD9 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021 and Schaefer Vineyards 1.5 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. So,
yeah, not a bad lineup.
Yes, day didn't stink. So.
Yeah.
So let's have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
Well, I'd like to start out wishing everyone champagne wishes and caviar dreams. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Not working for me so far, but we'll give him some rope.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
That sounded like Robin Leach killed Sean Connery and consumed his brain.
Yes. This is bad. Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
See, you've hit on the prime thing. He always yells.
Yeah.
Robin Leach never talks. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. Five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Ended strong.
Yeah.
Stronger.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so. This is Robin Leach with Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless. Welcome to this episode where we're going to be sitting here drinking daiquiris in the tiki hut.
Yeah. See, you did good. You should have done it.
Yeah.
But well, I did. Here we are.
I had a pretty sad childhood sitting in front of the TV. So you know. All right. Well, let's get on to our first wines, and those are from Paul Roger. So Paul Roger was only 18 when on the 2nd of January, 1849, he made his first sale of wine. Circumstances obliged him to take up such an undertaking as his father, a notary, contracted an incurable disease and had to give up his practice. His business flourished, and the family settled in Epernay in 1851, where the firm would be able to develop. When Paul Roger died of pneumonia in 1899, his two sons were ready to take over for him. Maurice and Georges Roger took over from their father, Paul. They had worked alongside him since the age of 18. After Paul's death, his sons changed their family last name to Paul Roger as a tribute to their father. And to this day, the members of the seventh generation family work for the firm. So we were sent these by Bastien Collard, who is the grandson of Christian Paul Roger. I met Christian back in the 90s at a tasting here in South Florida when I was in law school and broke and didn't have any money. And they were pouring Sir Winston Churchill. So I had friends who worked for the company who actually let me in for free because they knew I was broke, because I'd always wanted to try it because I wrote a history paper for my thesis on Sir Winston Churchill. And when I went there, I got to the back corner and I was a little bit late. And there was one gentleman behind the table, very well dressed, and kept looking at me. You could see I was nervous. And he goes, are you okay? And I said, I'm in school. I'm broke. I can't even afford to be here. I'm here by the charity of my friends. I'm only here to try the Sir Winston. Please tell me you're not out. And he looks at me and he says, wait a minute. And he goes through the doors in the back in the kitchen, comes out with a bottle and two glasses and motions me over to a table. I sit at the table. He opens up a bottle of Sir Winston, pours a full glass, pours another full glass, slides it over and then extends his hand and says, I'm Christian Paul Roget.
Wow, that's a great story, Bob. Mm.
And we finished the entire bottle, and then he signed it with a gold fountain pen and gave it to me, and then said, where should we go next? And then took me around the room and introduced me to Paul Jebelet, and we had a bottle with him. So, and I was telling this story to a gentleman at the New York Wine Experience last fall, and it was Bastian. And after I told him, he kind of had a tear in his eye and he said, that's my grandfather. And I'm like, oh my God, is he still with us? And he's like, yes. I said, God, he will never remember me, but thank you for the greatest night of my life. So,
that's so nice. That came full circle for you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, Paul Roget is always my favorite champagne. So.
Yeah.
So I'm
just
biased.
Shows how old Bob is.
Oh, yeah.
But it also shows the connection sometimes, you know.
So where's the winemaker? Winston Churchill this morning?
Well, they sent us this. Be happy you got what you got.
I was thinking you'd pull a bottle out of your cellar, Bob, since I'm sure you have a case stash.
Trust me, if they sent one, I wouldn't share it with you.
Oh, wow.
It'd already be gone.
Ouch.
It would have lasted about 8 seconds. So, well, we're tasting now the Paul Roget Pure Extra Brut, 12.5% ABV. This was first released in 2008. It's an exercise to achieve a wine in its natural state. So it's an undosed champagne. There's no dosage. Produced to make a nice balance between the three grape varieties, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay. This is blended in equal proportion and aged for at least 4 years. All the wines here go through a malolactic fermentation. After tasting, blending, and bottling, the secondary fermentation and maturing take place in their cellars 33 meters below street level. Each bottle is giving the traditional remuage, the hen riddling, before disgorging, and then the wines rest for a minimum of 3 months before being released. So it's got a very nice pale straw color to it. On the nose, I get... there's a bright lemon, toasted brioche, a very mild, mild yeastiness, and white flowers. And on the palate, hold on. There's a minerality, a salinity up front to the front of the palate on this one. It's got a very nice, fine texture to it. A little bit of sweetness, a little bit of honeycomb, a little bit of light citrus. Delicious. What did you think, Denise?
I'm just listening to you describe this, and it's, I mean, it makes you want to drink it, obviously. But what I like about this is that the nose for me is very, very different than the palate.
Mm. Yeah.
And so sometimes, you know, they sort of align, and what you get on the nose, you get on the palate. But I always find it interesting that when you get something on the nose, you think you know what's going to come to the palate,
but then that doesn't happen. Yeah.
So I agree with you. I thought on the nose it was very yeasty, more brioche and lots of lemon. And on the palate, I know you mentioned honeycomb. I got more honeysuckle. Mm-hmm. So
the white flowers.
Yes, exactly. I thought it was slightly tart. For me, the stainless steel came through.
Yep,
it's definitely very nice, very pleasant. And to be honest, not what I expected, but definitely enjoy it. Mm.
I would agree with both of you, actually. I think that's
a first.
Yeah.
This is an all-day sipper. This is a refreshing, light, sit by the pool, enjoy it all day. The nose lets you know it's a champagne. It's got that bready, yeasty aroma on the nose, which is nice. And honestly, I was expecting that on the palate, as you noted, Denise, but it's not there. And that I like on the palate, but that's more of a sipping kind of special go with food champagne. For this, without that yeast on the palate, it becomes this refreshing, light, bright, all day sipper. And so I really like it. So, well, I don't want to call it entry level. I would call it your all-day sipper. Whereas some of the other things we're going to talk about later, I think would be more of a fireside, end of the night, enjoy a glass. But this is really nice.
For what it is. Put me by the pool and bring me a case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin, what do you think?
He's just looking at us like... Like
what are you saying?
You're next.
Wait, yeah. I didn't get any of that.
So I got, and when we first opened it, I got like yeast rolls, and then lilies and white grapes. After a while, the yeast roll kind of turned into beer mash, like what you make whiskey out of. It changed on the palate. It was sweet on the outside of the palate, dry in the middle of my palate, and not much back palate. And the finish was dry and pleasant.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's for me, it's the front two thirds, the back palate, not so
much. And a relatively short to medium finish. Yeah. I mean, the finish was not extravagant by any stretch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for me, front two thirds. I get the sweetness up front, and then I get the tartness that Denise does. So.
Well made champagne. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. For the right occasion, it's beautiful.
Mm. I could smell it all day, that's for sure.
Mm. Yes, it does have a lovely aroma.
Well, we're going to be giving the Paul Roger Pure Extra Brut a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
And we'll be back to discuss some more wines in a moment.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing some lovely champagnes from Paul Roger. So we had just discussed the Paul Roger Pure Extra Brut, and we're going to go on to the next one. We're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Great. I'm happy to introduce you to the Paul Roger Reserve. The Brut Reserve is a blend in equal parts of three Champenois grape varieties, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay from 30 different cru. 25% reserve wines are used to produce this cuvée. So let's talk about it. It's a beautiful golden straw color. I loved all the bubbles in this. I thought that the champagne prior didn't have as many, so that's what I always expect, but you don't always get. And on the nose, you get the pear, at least I do. The honeysuckle, the pear. I don't get the yeasty brioche notes that they describe, but I do get a lot of that fruit that comes through. And on the palate, for me, I got the candied orange peel. They talk about some spicy notes, but for me, it was more tangy. And that's really the only way that I can describe it. Sometimes you get a really nice, maybe barbecue sauce or a hot sauce that's got the heat, the spice, but it also maybe has, you know, like a mango or that habanero that has a tang to it. So this was really tangy and citrusy, and I really love that flavor profile. The finish was really nice. It was a little light, but I like the champagne. How about you, Justin?
I definitely got the pear that you got, and I got like a durian pastry. It's not the smell, but the taste of it, but on the nose.
Thank God.
That's a good pickup.
Like, the durian's like stinky when you smell it, but it's got a different flavor when you taste
Entirely.
It. Kind of like the last wine. So this is like that. I got cloves, straw, a light background of creme de menthe. After time, the whole durian thing faded off, and then it was like fresh baked bread on the nose. Like right now, I'm still getting that. On the palate, I got fruitcake, and it had the texture of Starburst candy, but not the flavor of Starburst candy. You know, that creamy, smooth consistency that a Starburst chew gives you, like a texture note. And the finish was sweet, pleasant, and long. What'd you think, Bob?
I'm just still trying to contemplate a Starburst texture. So for me, this one was on the nose. There's some tropical fruit. Again, the white flowers, a little bit of brioche, and then that lemony top note. And then on the palate, I get, again, I get the white flowers, I get the honeysuckle, I get the honeycomb, I get a little bit of the citrus, and then this one has a little bit of a spicy note on the end. I mean, it's fantastic, so.
Well, Maury, you're just silent.
I'm just waiting and listening. I actually thought that this was my least favorite of the three Paul Rogers. It didn't really hit anyone. It was soulless. It was just looking for a place. I found it was a jack of all trades, master of none. The first one I thought was a great all day sipper. The next one is really hits my style in terms of the yeastiness and the maturity. It's a vintage champagne. It's got some age on it. This was just sort of never land. It's nothing inherently wrong with it, but I'm just going to be a little contrary and say it was just there for me.
All righty then.
Yeah, I see why you were silent.
That's fine. We can just ignore him. So
we usually do.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Yeah. Oh. Delicious, but
okay, maybe we should read it.
I digress.
It.
So we're going to give the Paul Rocher Reserve a well-deserved, in spite of Maury, 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us to our last champagne. We're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So we're going to talk about the Paul Rocher Brut Vintage 2016, or 12.5% alcohol by volume. The 2016 Brut Vintage from Champagne Paul Roger is made from the traditional house vintage blend of 60% Pinot Noir and 40% Chardonnay from 20 Grands and Premier Cru vineyards in the Montagne de Reims and Côte Blanc.
And I am very aroused.
The color is like this beautiful, pale, sparkly yellow. On the nose, I got lemon, tangerine, kind of wet cedar in the beginning. And then with time, that faded off and it was just gone. On the palate, it had a really nice effervescent pop to it. I got like a nice green melon note, and lemon and lime just filled the entire palate after that. The finish is a nice long finish, and it was primarily mid palate for me. I thought this was really pleasant. I would love to have it with like creme brulee or something like that. I think it would really pop.
So dessert.
Yeah, for me, yeah. This is more of a dinner thing for you?
I don't know. I'm not really sure where I would fit this in, but I'm going to ask Maury to expand on that.
Oh, well, thank you. To me, this is a delightful aperitif. This
moment the world
has waited for. Open your palate. Just prepare you for the meal. This is a quintessential vintage champagne. It's got the yeast, it's got the bread, it's got the maturity, it's probably spent some time on the lees picking up those complexities. The nose, I agree with Justin, it's got all kinds of great things, but the palate, it's just got that creamy, citrusy, mouth-coating viscosity, long finish. This is the sweet spot. This is delicious. I thought this was extremely well made and shows what vintage champagnes can really do. And I'd love to see this even in another 5 years. I think it will be even more exciting.
So you drink this with the pigs in blanket at the beginning of the bar mitzvah?
Right.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Me too. Yeah. That would be good.
I don't get the creaminess that you describe.
No, it's definitely
I get all the citrus.
It's a little bit of the mouthfeel from the mallow. It's not overpowering, you know, a butter bomb, but there's no question.
No, definitely not.
It does have a lot of citrus. But for me, of the three, this has the most viscosity and creaminess on the palate.
Well, I mean, it's going to. It's a 2016 vintage. I mean, yeah.
It's got eight years on it.
Yeah.
Bob, thoughts?
Bob's drinking.
I'm just trying to form words at this point. So,
yeah, I see your lips are moving, but not much is coming out.
Nothing's coming out.
Yeah, it's there's just a dried fruit. There's a lovely citrus. There's a little bit of a like an almond paste to it.
Definitely get the almond.
And on the palate, again, I get some of the dried fruit. I get that lovely underlayment. There's a floor there. There's a body there. The citrus top note is like the roof. Little bit of lemon, a little bit of orange. The yeastiness is there, and it's just so well done. It's just not overpowering. The creaminess is there. Not overly done, just enough to give you the nice mouthfeel. Not, you know, some champagnes, the creaminess just, it's like cloying. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. It's lovely. What'd you think?
I like it. I had trouble finding the creaminess that the two of you found. I felt that it was a little more crisp and clean, more citrus for me. The lemon, the lime that Justin described. The orange peel. I mean, I love it. It's lovely. But I couldn't find the creaminess. Sorry.
I don't get it on the front palate. I get it on the finish and the back palate.
I'm going to try it again if I must.
Yeah. You must. You must.
I don't know. Little tart, little tangy on the sides of my tongue. But yeah, still clean and crisp is how I would describe it.
I don't get the creaminess until I swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
And very back palate, I get that coating. It's not creamy like some champagnes are creamy, the whole mouth kind of thing.
Right. They're
like
very yeasty, creamy.
No, it's not overpowering. I agree with Bob.
Yeah. It's back palate, it's finish only. Like you said, it's tart, it's very crisp on the front palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes you keep coming back for more.
Yeah. It's not harsh going down, so you can drink the whole bottle.
Oh, no. You got to be careful.
Yeah, well, I have that problem with champagne. I tend to drink the whole bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as a problem.
No.
Well, just affording it's the problem. So, Well, we're going to be giving the Paul Rocher Brut Vintage 2016 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that's going to bring us to our next winery, and we're going to have Maury tell us a little bit about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob. Established by Charles and Shirley Roy in 1999, the current owners of Roy Estate are Stephanie Mallory and Stéphane Crétier. Their 17-acre vineyard is situated immediately south of the Stag's Leap District at the cooler southern end of Napa Valley and is planted with Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Petit Verdot. A creek divides the parcel roughly in half, producing two noticeably distinct sites on one small estate. On one side, classic volcanic soil produces smaller, low-yielding vines that generate wines with powerful tannins. The soil on the other side is more loamy and deep, supporting bigger and stronger vines that give more generous, profound, layered wines. Their winemaker, Philippe Melka, began working at Roy Estate in April of 2005. One of the world's most respected winemakers, he began his career working at wineries in France, Chateau Aubryon, Ancho Petrus, Italy, Badia, Cote Bueno, Australia, Chittering Estate.
I think that's right. Hell, I don't know.
And California, Dominus, and Ridge.
Hey, I got those two.
He was named as one of the top wine consultants in the world by Robert Parker. So, our first wine is the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red 2019. I don't know who Mr. Evans is. I'm sorry. It is a blend of 65% Cabernet Sauvignon, 24% Merlot, 11% Petit Verdot, and comes in at a whopping 15.2% ABV. 695 cases were produced. The fruit for this release is 100% single vineyard estate grown and was harvested between October 4th and October 24th of 2019. The grapes were crushed in open top fermenters and concrete tanks and macerated for 20 days. It was 100% barrel fermented and aged 19 months in 100% new Tarencade French oak barrels with no fining and no filtration to heighten complexity and deepen aromas. So with that introduction, let's talk about the wine. It is a beautiful, deep, dark, inky, brooding purple. The nose is concentrated, lots of red berries, some graphite, some minerality, and there is a trace of anise and licorice on the nose. The palate, where do I begin? Some fresh fennel, some wild flowers, some menthol, some graphite, some leather. It's just got layers and layers that you can pick apart and explore. It's really developed quite nicely in the glass. Over time, we did decant this and aerate it, but even over the last 45 minutes, it's really beautifully evolved in the glass. It's got a nice medium finish. It's mouth coating. It's really a delicious wine, and I feel so fortunate that we had the opportunity to try this today. What did you think, Denise?
I thought this wine was great. This wine is so delicious. I thought it was good right out of the bottle, and now it's been sitting on the table.
And now
and
it's singing.
Wow.
Honestly, my scores went up.
Yes, my scores did too.
Oh, mine did too, automatically. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the mineral tones, it is so earthy. It is so bright. The red berries and the graphite come through and on the nose. And I mean, that's just amazing. And the herbal notes for me. So, you know, I've talked about it before. I love the floral notes. I love herbal notes. At first I thought, is that rosemary? And I thought, maybe that's oregano. Quite honestly, I don't really care what herb it is. It's just fantastic. Maybe it's like a herbal blend. Who knows?
You know the Italian herbal blend you buy at the grocery store?
Exactly. Italian seasoning.
Italian seasoning. And that's why I just couldn't identify the herb.
Rosemary
and basil.
I don't
even care. It's like an herbal blend and it's delicious. That finish has a beautiful mouthfeel. The tannins, it's got a medium to long finish. I think it's obvious that I love this wine. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm glad to have the opportunity.
Proprietary red. So
we've got to wonder if it has something to do with those Tarencade barrels. I wonder.
Going by the name, you would think this is their introductory wine.
Right. But.
Well, the next wine is the step up in their lineup. And this is somewhat of their introductory wine, but it's light years above many other wines.
Yeah, and if this is introductory, I just want to pitch a tent and camp there. So,
but with whiskey and the barrels and the charring and the specifics, you have to wonder if there's something with the barrels and when you identify a particular cooperage that is going to meet your requirements with each barrel, we all know that that plays a part, and perhaps that's why.
But the terroir, they noticed some specific differences. Absolutely. Just on their very small parcel of property.
Mm. Yes.
With the wines and the grapes being different on either side. And so you can't discount the terroir. I think they've really got the whole package. You know, garbage in, garbage out, high quality in, high quality out. They've got the best terroir. They're getting some really highly, highly customized barrels from the cooperage, and their techniques all combined to make a really spectacular product.
Kudos, Mr. Evans.
The nitrates of mead wine.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, it's just, I was very excited when we got the opportunity to get these. I mean, I was aware of this estate, but I hadn't had anything from them. But a few people I've talked to have said, "Oh yeah, you're going to love it." So, I mean, for me, this is fantastic. It's just, it's on the nose. There's a lovely stony minerality to it. It's almost, you know, they always talk about it like a Rutherford dust, you know. I don't believe this is Rutherford, but it's got that dustiness, that minerality to it on the nose. It's got a lovely, just bright red berries going on the palate. Just a weightiness to it, a lovely heavy weightiness to it. That herbal, like you said, just beautiful wine. What did you think, Justin?
So when we first poured this wine, I got very distinct elements on the nose, and they blended over time. When we first poured it, I got pencil shavings, plums, mineral water, unripe lemon. Over time, it just all blended together to become something beautiful. The palate started off as closed off, earthy, but it had great depth. And I got like a camel menthol flavor on the palate that faded off with oxidation and just became kind of like a creamier Oakville kind of thing. Like Oakville's kind of known for this dryness and depth, and this is just a little creamier.
All right, we'll be back.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just wrapping up our discussion of the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red 2019. Have any more words of wisdom?
Not a one.
Yeah, this one's just, Lord, it just gets better the longer it sits there. So we're going to be giving the Roy Estate Mr. Evans Proprietary Red a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Again, when I got the opportunity to try this wine, I was excited. So, and that's going to take us to our second wine from Roy Estate. We're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Perfect. So this is the Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon 2019. It's 93% Cabernet Sauvignon, 7% Petit Verdot. Excuse me, and 15.2% ABV. There are 572 cases produced. So get it while you can. The fruit for this release is 100% single vineyard, estate grown, and was harvested between October 4th and October 24th, 2019. The grapes were crushed into open-top fermenters, concrete tanks, and oak barrels and macerated for 21 days. It was 100% barrel fermented and aged for 28 months in 100% new Tarancel French oak barrels with no fining and no filtration. Sounds like there's it should be key. Good.
There's your key. Just leave it alone. Don't filter right. out. Don't filter out all the good bits.
Exactly.
It's like chill filtration in whiskey. It's just evil and it should never be done and just leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you can't handle it getting a little cloudy and put some ice in it, the hell with you. If you, you know, we don't filter it. God made it that way. Leave it alone.
That should be the next good big point. Law after the Bottled and Bond Act is stop filtering your whiskey.
Exactly. Stop filtering your whiskey. Stop filtering your wine. Leave it alone.
Yep. Exactly.
The market will adapt to cloudy.
You're right.
If it doesn't, then we just have more for us.
Right.
That's fine.
Well, this wine is beautiful in color. It is a dark ruby red. The nose is pretty amazing. Anyone that knows me knows how much I love blueberries. And for me, the blueberries come through, the cassis. And here we go again with our fresh herb mixture of thyme and tarragon and probably a few other things. And how lovely is that? The palate, I get more blueberries. And of course, you know, you get the mineral notes and the anise. Apparently, there's a little bit of eucalyptus and mint that I haven't found yet, but I'll keep trying, and I'm sure some of that will shine through. The finish is pretty fantastic for me. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel on the finish, which is interesting, and I think it's a nice long finish that makes you want to come back for more. It was a little tight. It could either use a little more time in the glass. So I think it's only going to get better, but it's delicious, just the same. Anybody like to weigh in on this delicious wine?
Well, I would agree with most of what you said, except for me, I like them young and I thought this was delightful. It definitely needed some air.
You said that.
That gets people in jail, sir. You said that
sitting next to your wife. Put the gun down. Put the gun down.
I'm looking where the you can kill him outside,
not in my house. Okay,
make sure I'm not in the line. Okay,
all right. Please, listen. Not in my house. I don't need the law in here.
This wine's got 5 years on it, and it's ready to go. It will only get better for a short period of time, or remain drinkable for a long period of time. But I think it's fantastic the way it is.
Well, like I said, when we opened it, I felt terrible. I feel so guilty that we opened this right now.
But you know what? I don't feel guilty because these wines are beautiful and they're meant to be drunk. It. And, you know, there are people that would prefer this wine with 10 more years on it. I personally prefer it on release or shortly thereafter. It does need some air. It was a little closed when it came out of the bottle. But everything Denise said was spot on. I think, you know, again, some hints of graphite. That seems to be an estate trademark. But I thought that this wine was big and bold. It's a food wine. It's exactly what I want. All the only thing that's missing here is a big, fat, juicy ribeye.
Oh, tomahawk.
Right.
I was just going to say tomahawk.
Yeah, tomahawk. A big, giant hunk of meat right now would be perfect with this.
This wine has everything. It's not for the faint of heart. It's, you know, it's very limited production. I would call this a boutique estate. And this is about the pinnacle of what Napa can produce in terms of Cabernet Sauvignon. And this wine does not disappoint.
This is what you get when you have a very small estate and you can focus.
Correct.
You can focus on your property. You can focus on each individual vine as opposed to your turning out quantity. And there's nothing wrong with the larger estates. They turn out great wine. But when you have something small like this, you can really just give it that
but
attention.
What I really want to say is a lot of people complain that about the parkerization of wines and fruit bombs and jammy. This wine is not jammy. No. It is not a fruit bomb.
No, that's why I love it.
It is not parkerized. Yeah. I would argue that I don't know what Robert Parker's given it, but it may not be his highest rated wine.
Probably
but
not. It's not that style.
That this eclipses many of the things he's given very top
scores. This is a wine that you get to
this is
once you've climbed the ladder of of all the other wines.
Right. Well balanced, well made, extremely well made, very limited production, very difficult to find. I don't think you'll find this in any retail store. Mm-hmm. These are high-end restaurant wines. These are mailing list wines. Mm-hmm. These are aspire to a special occasion wines. And honestly, they deserve the accolades. Yeah. They're
and
fantastic.
And if you find it, if you do find one, grab it. Grab it. It just everything, I mean, everything we've had so far has been fantastic. So,
yeah, I can't thank Roy Estate enough for sharing these wines. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be able to share them with the general public, and just what an amazing job they're doing with this really, really focused, tight, you know, small scale production. Can't say enough.
Well, we're going to be giving the Roy Estate Cabernet Sauvignon 2019 a extremely well deserved 5.6.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking
for me, it's 5 because we don't have 6 on the soundboard. So,
yep.
So we're going to go to our next winery, which is going to be Justin's going to tell us about that.
The site where Schaefer Vineyards is located has a history of grape growing and winemaking dating back to 1880, during Napa Valley's first boom as America's wine country. Napa's pioneer vintners, not volunteer vintners.
I want to be a volunteer vintner.
That would be me too, right?
That would be Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Filled San Francisco's wine cellars, but shipped wine across the country and earned gold medals at the 1889 Paris Exposition. Even during Prohibition, when all the wine production was essentially outlawed in the U.S., the property continued without interruption as the site of grape growing by Battista and Maria Sconzi, immigrants from Carlazzo, Italy. John Schaefer, Chicago publishing executive, purchased the site in 1972 and spent the mid-70s planting the hillside estate to Cabernet Sauvignon. In 1978, John transitioned to full-scale winemaking, making the winery's first Cabernet Sauvignon. 1983, John's son, Doug Schaefer, joined the winery as winemaker. The following year, Elias Fernandez joined the winery, initially as assistant winemaker. In 1994, Elias earned the title of winemaker, and in 2002 was named Food & Wine's Winemaker of the Year. Elias continues to this day, celebrating his 40th harvest as winemaker at Schaefer Vineyards.
Awesome. 40 years of making wine. It's a dream.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And the first wine we're going to talk about is the Schaefer Vineyards TD9 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 76% Cabernet Sauvignon, 11% Merlot, 10% Petit Verdot, 3% Malbec, and it's 15.3% alcohol by volume, so it'll get you there. The newest Cabernet from Schaefer Vineyards, TD9, is named after John Schaefer's first tractor, which he taught himself to drive in 1973 as part of the founding of the winery. The fruit was grown on the estate vineyards in Napa's Valley's southern foothills, just south of the Stag's Leap District, and from the other Napa Valley sites. This wine was aged in 20 months in 100% new French oak barrels from Allier and Chancey. The color is a beautiful dark plum. The nose, very beautiful, bright fruits. The palate, got a variety of bright fruit, a beautiful earthy note to it, and cocoa on the finish. This is a really bold, beautiful wine. What did you think, Maury?
Well, I like this wine. I thought it was very nice. But it's a little bit challenging after coming off of the last one. I'll admit that. I thought it was pleasant. I thought it had a nice color to it. I thought it had a wonderful nose. I love the fruit. For me, it was just a little bit on the thin side, a little bit on the closed side. It was there. I thought it was well made. It was easy drinking, but
I think it needs more time for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we gave it a lot of oxygen, and I think.
Well, we're just comparing it against a 2019 in a very small estate, you know, so that's
it, it's hard.
It's mm-hmm. The problem is we're tasting these one after the other, and it's not fair to each wine because the order. Yeah, who the hell knows when we do the order. So what do you think, Denise?
Well, I agree with everything the two of you said. I think, it's cherry season, so it's hard to get the cherries out of my head. I buy them, I eat them, I love them. On the nose, this was very dark red fruit, dark cherry specifically forward. I thought it had a hint of a floral note on the nose, and I thought that was really pleasant. In fact, I would say on the nose for this, it would definitely make me, you know, want to just dive in and taste it. And if I thought that the palate was anything like the nose, I would be just ecstatic. But I was pleasantly surprised, actually. I definitely, on the palate, got the herbal notes. I got the dark cherry, some thyme. I really think, Maury, that this could appeal to a lot of your guests that you're not really sure what they like. To open this bottle and serve it, I think that you could definitely appeal to just about anybody in the house that would be interested in drinking a red wine.
Yeah, I agree. It's got mass appeal.
Yeah, it's much more approachable. Yeah.
Very approachable.
Which is always nice to have around.
We talked about geek whiskeys. The last one was the geek wine. This is the more approachable wine.
And you need to have these around because you never know who you're entertaining. Yeah. I think this would be a great wine. Yeah. To keep and have. And
yeah, I would call this more, not quite entry level, but I would consider this a mid-level, very nice Napa cab. You want a cab, you're good to go.
Right.
Well, we're going to be rating the Schaefer Vineyards TD9 Cabernet Sauvignon, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
That leads us to our last one, which is the Schaefer Vineyards 1.5 Cabernet Sauvignon, which is 94% cab, 3% Petit Verdot, 2% Merlot, and 1% Malbec, 15.3% ABV, 12,000 cases produced. It is their signature Cabernet, named in honor of John and Doug Schaefer, who worked together for so long that theirs wasn't a second-generation story. They would call it a generation and a half. This is on their Borderline Vineyard, located in the Stags Leap District. It's aged for 20 months, 100% new French oak barrels from Allier and Tronquay. So, beautiful inky purple on the color. On the nose, cherries, bright red fruit. On the palate, cherries, plums. More front palate for me than back palate, but there's an herbal note to it. A little bit of rosemary, a little bit of thyme. What do you think, Denise?
I love the nose. I do. I love the fruit and I love the perfume sort of note that I get.
Yeah, it's perfumey and flowery and bright.
On the palate, it's a little tight. The tannins come through.
Everything about this wine was a little muted, wasn't it?
I think both of these are like we were going, we opened the last one from Roy way too early. These are way too early. Way, way too early. I mean, I think these need another 3 years at least before these are going to develop.
I mean, it's pleasant.
Well, these are younger wines, and I must admit, I've had some current release Napa cabs that I'm ready to drink right away, but I'm hopeful that you're right, Bob, that more time would give them more approachability. I think they're in their sort of what one of my colleagues in my wine group would describe as their backward period, where they're kind of regressing a little bit. They're introverted, but I think these wines will come out of their shell and really shine in the future. I just can't predict exactly when.
Just going off of history of Schaefer, I think, everything I've had from them has been fantastic up to this point. I think these are great wines. I mean, they're good now. Open them up now. They're fantastic now. But I think another 2-3 years.
But in fairness, these two compared to, say, perhaps the Hillside Select from Schaefer, which we don't have the luxury of trying today, they're a little bit thinner than some of the things we've had, which are a little more highly extracted.
Different wine.
Yeah.
Different wine. What do you think, Justin?
So I think if this was made in 2018, 2019, we'd be spot on for peak. The 2021 releases of cab throughout Napa were kind of more closed off, more muted.
Yeah.
They're not as big and bold as those years. So
yeah, we mm-hmm. brought a lot of them home after our last couple of trips there. Yeah.
So for 2021, this is really good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Schaefer Vineyards 1.5 Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. A well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. That was lovely.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another wonderful day in the damp, dark, damp basement.
It beats sitting outside in the heat.
Sure does. Yeah.
You know what's in the basement? Wine!
Wine!
And thank you, Justin.
Wishing you all champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that Robin the Leach is rolling in his grave right now with that one.
Oh, he would be, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lord have mercy. He was the king in the 80s, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was the man, so.
He showed me the good life.
Yeah.
And I've spent the rest of my life
trying to get to it. And still not there, but honestly, at this table, we're about as close as I think we're going to get. So.
Yeah.
Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Mad Bob. Thanks, and remember, life's too short to drink bad wine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.